Good morning. I hope you're well seated and you're comfortable. Please keep your Bibles open. We will be looking at the scripture, particularly this passage, quite a lot this morning. I'm just going to start by asking you a question, and please answer, don't let me wait, because the time is flying. The question is, why are you here today? Anyone? I thought that is going to be a quick. Why? God loves us. Anyone else? To praise Him, yes. Anything else? Come on. There is a lot more. Help me here. Hear God's word, yes. What is the main reason why we're here? The main reason why? To worship whom? To worship Jesus. Gosh. It's hard sometimes, isn't it? We're here because of Jesus. So if any of us didn't know Jesus, we wouldn't be here. And the Christian church has had Christ at the center through the centuries. The Christian church could not survive without Christ at the center of all that they do, at the center of the worship, at the center of the prayer, at the center of preaching the word, at the center of the Bible study groups in Sunday school, prayer meeting on Tuesday, anything else. We can carry on and on. A space at the table on Thursday. If Christ was not the center, we would not have survived. And I'm sure the church in Pakistan and any other place on earth where they are facing a tremendous persecution will survive, not because of the buildings that they had and don't anymore, but they will survive because of Christ, who is the center of their lives. Now, we keep Christ at the center of our lives because we read the Gospels and we preach the Gospels. And let me just remind you a little bit about what the Gospel is all about. In the Gospel of Matthew, we've got four Gospels, by the way, in our Bibles. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus is presented as the promised King. He is the Son of David. He is the one who came to fulfill the law and say, "It is done." He preached the truth. Then in the Gospel of Mark, we have Jesus, who is portrayed as the suffering servant. He has authority from God, and he came to do exactly what God wants, his work, saving people. And then in the Gospel of Luke, we have Jesus, the Savior of all. He is the Son of Man. In opposition with Adam, the first Son of Man, he came as a perfect Son of Man who seeks and finds that was lost. In the Gospel of John, Jesus is God. He's presented in his full glory, full of glory and grace. He is the truth that came down from heaven to give eternal life. So it's important that us as Christians, we hold on to those truths, presented in different ways, but at the essence is Jesus is the center. In the Gospel of Luke, as I said earlier on, Jesus is presented as the Savior. He is presented the one who seeks and finds the lost. Actually, verse 10 in this passage is the key verse for the whole gospel. We cannot understand the Gospel of Luke unless we understand verse 10. For the Son of Man, please look in your Bibles, for the Son of Man came to seek and save, and to save what was lost. In everything he did, Jesus had a plan from eternity. He knew what he was going to do. He knew what he was going to do and the price that he needed to pay to fulfill his plan. Just flip back your Bible a few pages to chapter 15. Then Jesus speaks about the lostness of a human being. And he presents three parables. We got there. The parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, and the parable of the lost son. What Jesus says is basically, you know what? You can be lost at home, the parable of the lost coin in a home. You can be among God's people and you can be lost just there. Or you can be lost far away, like the lost sheep and the lost son who ran away from his father. You can be lost. And I dare to say that Jesus provoked us to think, where are we in regards to that? And the thing is, looking in the scripture, we are very lost, all of us, because the scripture puts us in the light of the glory of God, and we are very far if we don't have Jesus. Then, later on in the passage, in chapter 16, Jesus meets the rich man. And he was the one who was at home, had it all together. He fulfilled the law. He was a good, according to the law, person. He needed nothing to get into heaven. But he had something that crippled him, and that was his fortune. He wouldn't give up that. His fortune was his life. And he was lost. Then Jesus meets a beggar, a blind beggar. He was as lost as the rich man, but he was poor, and he realized who he was. He recognized his hopelessness, and he shouted out, "Son of David, have mercy of me." And when Jesus came to him, he received not only his sight, he received life, and that was life in abundance. He received Jesus. And then we come to Zacchaeus. I'm sure many of you have heard about Zacchaeus in your Sunday school. I remember my Sunday school teacher would make sure there was no year in the calendar year where we would forget talking about Zacchaeus. Every year, it was a time in the beginning of the year, middle or the end, we will have a lesson about Zacchaeus. She always made sure that we understand that if you are little or big, you need Jesus no matter what. And I will never forget that. And who is Zacchaeus? Well, Zacchaeus is a son of Abraham from birth, part of God's people, chosen people, I would say. He was part of God's people's plan, God's plan with his people. But he was a lost man, nevertheless. He sold himself off for a social position, for wealth. He was a short man with a big ego. He wanted to show that he can be someone at the gates of Jericho. You know, the leaders of the people then will sit at the gate of the city, and then they will show off that they are someone. Then they will judge people. Then they will, direct people, teach people. He wanted to show, well, I am small. I might be this, looking funny short man, but I am someone. I can do something. And he did. He did well for himself. However, he was rejected by others because he got into bed with the Roman authorities. At the time, to be a tax collector and to be a chief tax collector, you had to pay your due to the Roman authorities. And then whatever you make on top, it's your own problem. No one had any issues with that. Zacchaeus had not only an external, a social problem, a status problem. Deep inside his heart, he knew that he wasn't what he was pretending to be. By the way, do you know what the name Zacchaeus means? It means clean. And he knew he wasn't clean. Zacchaeus was caught up in his own schemes. His social status didn't gain him a part of wealth much. And he was respected maybe among the tax collectors. He knows what's going on in his heart, and he knows he's not clean. And he knows that he lives a self-deceived life. But there is something that happens in Zacchaeus' life. There is a meeting that he has with someone that will change the course of his life. Not sure how many of you remember your professors or teachers in university or school. But I will never forget one of my teachers, professors in university. I've done this teaching course with him. And the first day, the first minute of his course started like this. He said to us, "In your life, you're going to have many meetings. Some of them will change the course of your life." And he said, "I hope that the meeting with me will do just that. I will never forget that saying. That was about 20 years ago. I will never forget that saying, because it's impossible that when we have meetings with different people or different situations in our life, that our lives does not change. And Zacchaeus meets Jesus. And it's a two-way thing. He wants to see Jesus, and Jesus seeks him. It was like the woman with a blood leak that we heard of a few Sundays back. He thought that just coming near Jesus, just seeing who he was. It's interesting, if you read the Bible carefully, the Bible doesn't say he wants you to see Jesus. He wants you to see who Jesus was. It's very important that we understand who Jesus was. As the woman, as we're saying, who with the blood leak, in the turmoil of her life, she thought, if I just touch his cloak, I'm going to get healed. I'm going to be well. And Zacchaeus seeks Jesus. Now think of the ridiculous of this situation. A man of his stature, Now imagine that you have the CEO. I just looked up and HMRC has a CEO. So this is correct information. Now imagine that the CEO of HMRC runs behind the crowd and jumps into a tree and waits for Jesus to pass by. There was no board of directors saying, make way, Zacchaeus is coming, he wants to see Jesus. No, there was none of that. He was hated by the religious leaders who surrendered Jesus at the time, and people didn't care any notice of him. He was very short. He had to cross two obstacles, one, his height, and then the big crowd that was separating him from Jesus. No, make way, Zacchaeus is coming. None of that. He runs ahead, behind the crowd, gets up a tree to see Jesus. How ridiculous is that? A man of his wealth to do just that. But then something happens in verse 9, if you open your Bible, if you look at your Bibles, in verse 9, sorry, it's not verse 9, it's verse 5. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. Come down immediately. It's something that some of us need to hear, and some of the people that need Jesus need to hear. Sometimes we feel that are very high somewhere in our bubble where we are special, more special than everyone else. And we need to be told, come down, come to the reality, come to the street level to see how life is there. It's not a bubble. Everything is not a bubble. It's not all going fine. There are issues. And when Zacchaeus comes down and meets Jesus, there is an amazing thing happening. He is transformed. He is changed. The religious leaders around him, they can only see a man who is a sinner. They say, oh, not again, another sinner. This Jesus, he always eats with the sinners, with prostitutes, with people of bad name. We can't go near him. Oh, not again. Not again. I thought he's given up all this. I thought he wants to join us. I thought he wants to join our tribe. I thought he wants to join our little group. And not again. If he only knew who this man was. But then, I'm sure Zacchaeus has heard their words, but he didn't respond to that. What he responds is to Jesus' presence in his home. Jesus said, I must stay at your home today, at your house today. He knows he's a sinner. He knows he's wrong and he has stolen, cheated, coveted, and taken other people's possessions. Oh, he knows it well. And he knows that he is as lost someone can be. He knows he's got loads of skeletons in his wardrobe. And he does one thing. He does not ignore it. He doesn't say, you remember the Pharisee who called Jesus at his house, Simon, I think it was his name, and invited him to have a meal. And in his invitation, he did not do what the custom was to do. So wash someone's feet, welcome them nicely. He didn't do any of that. He felt, well, you know what, I'm a righteous man. I deserve Jesus to come in my house. And why not? Come on, all the leaders, you religious people, come and join. Let's show Jesus who we really are. Well, Zacchaeus does the opposite. He says, look, I've got this fortune. I give half of it to the poor. And if, he says, if, and I was thinking about this last night. Zacchaeus says, if I wronged anyone, I'll give them four times more. But it's not if, he has. So he is expecting that the other half will go away because he will have to pay four times everyone he's stolen from. Well, if it was the same Zacchaeus as the one who ran to the sycamore fig tree, then he wouldn't have done that. But Jesus' presence in his house has made the difference. Now, applications. This is the hard part. Because if I talk to you, I have to talk to myself. First of all, otherwise, I will not be in the right place. The first application is this. Let everyone, anyone who is in this room today, and everyone that you will meet tomorrow, and the day after, and this week, let them know that no one, but absolutely no one, is out of reach of God's grace and love. Let me repeat that. No one, absolutely no one, is out of reach of God's love and grace. I've heard many testimonies in my life, and usually I used to hunt those. I used to go to, when I was back in Romania, I used to go to churches. When I heard that it was a Baptist service, I thought, that's it, I'm going to hear what the testimonies are. And I heard pretty blunt testimonies about, you know, I was brought up in a Christian family, which I was myself. I went to Sunday school, and I heard the gospel, and then one day when the pastor preached about coming to the Lord, I just gave my life to the Lord. I'm not saying this is wrong, but I heard testimonies where people came from the deepest darkness of their life to Jesus. Testimonies that really shake you inside. It doesn't have to be a shake where you have tremble and fall to the floor. If the testimony of coming to Jesus does not shake you inside you, then you've got a problem. You need to come to Jesus and say, Lord, why am I where I am? Because I'm sure the whole world that Zacchaeus lived in was turned upside down. And in the first century, it was written in the scripture, it is written in the scripture, that the first church turned the world upside down. John 3:16 says what? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. The whole world, it means every single person, is called to respond to Jesus' call. If someone is, like Zacchaeus, small but with a big ego, then maybe they need to be called down to meet Jesus at his level. On the opposite, if someone feels so low, they feel they are unreachable, they feel they are so low that no one can come to them, then let them hear the words of Jesus who said to the paralytic man on his bed, get up and walk. Your sins have been forgiven. Secondly, second application is this. God has a plan for your life, for my life, for every single one of you. Every single person who is in this building, God has a plan for you. Don't forget that. How many people understand that? How many people have wanted to see Jesus? I believe many. How many people have stayed with Jesus? Well, not many. And even today, even though the gospel has reached to the ends of the world, not many people stick with Jesus. God has a plan for your life that is not to become prosperous. I'm really sorry to break this to you. Not to be happy. I'm really sorry to tell you that. Not to become a very, very intelligent person. Not to have a family, a happy family. Not to get a name for yourself. Do you know what the plan, God's plan for your life is? That is to be saved and to call many others to salvation. Because all of that I just mentioned earlier on, and the time when you're going to close your eyes in this world and you open your eyes in the world to come, all of that will be remaining behind. You're not going to take with you one single penny of your earnings in the last, I don't know, how many years of work you've done, 50 years, 60 years, not one penny. Not one book that you've read will help you then. Not one thing that you've ever done on this earth will help you when you open your eyes in eternity and you stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Romans 5, verse 8. I love this verse. For God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. What a wonderful thing to know. And the last application. This is the good news, isn't it? It's a good news. It's a very good news. It's the best news we can ever have. Let's not keep it for ourselves. Verse 10 says this. For the Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost. And now you know where you were. Do you know where you were? Do you know where you lost? Where you were when you were lost? Do you really know? Do you remember? I'm really sorry. I just want to remind you this. Remember where you are. Not to go back there, but remember where you've been taken from. Look, seems to me that sometimes Christians have amnesia. And they become very judgmental to people who are not part of their club. You know, say, oh, you're doing all these things. Oh, you're drinking. You're a drunkard. Oh, you're a drugger. You're an addict. You're drunk. You're doing this. Oh, you are slipping around, all that. But do you remember when you were lost? Did you not do the same thing? Bring the good news. Let's share the good news. For the Son of Man, that is Jesus, did not come to save the righteous. He came to save the lost. And Paul says, I am the first. And can you not say, can I not say that against myself? How many people are there in Lansing that are lost? I think I heard that there's 21,000 people living in this village. I felt proud of myself when I told people in Romania where I live. I said, I live in the biggest village in UK. And they said, why is it still called a village? I said, I don't know. I should find out. But how many people in the 21,000 people in this village are lost and they're going running towards hell and there is nothing to stop them? Are we, Lansing Tub, the people can stand at the crossroad and say, stop, next turn is hell? Now, we've got this outreach week coming up in October, and I'm not sure how many of us have prepared to invite anyone to church or to talk to someone about church, pray for someone. But I'm just going to challenge you with this. If this is good news for you, and it was good news for Zacchaeus meeting Jesus, then how much more is that the good news for those who are in the darkness and in the shadow of death? The greatest welcome that someone can receive is not when they are welcomed to a party or welcome in a family. The great welcome is when they are welcomed in the presence of Christ. And there is always a welcome ready for anyone who wants to come home. There are many homecomings. Some of us visit our home churches on Mother's Day. Some of us visit our relatives, parents. But the great homecoming is coming. And I pray that every single one of us here will be there, and with us many other hundreds and thousands that do not know Jesus. Let me just pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for Zacchaeus. We thank you that he realized his lostness and how far he was from you. Although he was called clean, and although he was part of your people, your chosen people, he was far from you. And it's true, Lord, that we ourselves can be far from you sometimes when we neglect our time with you, our relationship with you. Forgive us. But also, Lord, we thank you that you reached out to him. In his situation, you made salvation available to him, and you made that available to so many others who do not know you. I pray, Father, that this morning you will touch our hearts, you touch our minds, you will transform us and make us more like Jesus. And I pray, Lord, that we will be really fired up to present this good news to so many of us, so many of the people that live in our neighborhood, our friends, our relatives, Lord, people that run with closed eyes to a lost eternity. Father, have mercy. Have mercy and save. Save those in our families who do not know you. Save those who've been in this church and heard the gospel preached Sunday by Sunday and they faded away. And save those who've not yet decided to follow Jesus. Because in Christ alone, in him alone, we've got everything that we need for this life and the life to come. We praise you and we give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen.